Our love for Him should not be decreasing, but increasing every day. So now, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, I hope you do, we'll be in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. As I preach a type of message that I've never preached before, as we think about God's beautiful plan for those with special needs. Or you could say, for those who care for those with special needs. Because so many, and we'll talk about it in the message, but so many people see someone with a disability or a special need, and they think that they're damaged goods. And they think that God messed up when He made them. But the Bible shows us here, and I believe that is what the Word of God is sharing with us here, the important plan that He has for those with special needs or those with disabilities. I came across this scripture in my heart early last week, and it didn't put two and two together, but today is actually National Autism Awareness Day. So, and then the whole month of April is National Autism Awareness Month. But this thought this morning has been a great encouragement to my heart, because to be honest with you, when we found out that Ruby had autism, now Carrie has handled it then and is handling it now like a champ. But at first, I was broken. I was tore all to pieces. Because, to be honest with you, I felt like, why? Why would my daughter be born with this? Why would the Lord send this type of struggles to our household? And we're going to see this morning that ultimately the reason is to glorify Jesus. That's why. We see a man here that was born blind. And he was born blind for the express purpose for God to manifest His power through this man. Some people would look at a terrible disability. And I'm sure his family had a lot of difficulties in their lives. But Jesus had a plan in all of it. And when I come across this scripture, it's a great encouragement to me. And now I don't look at my daughter's, don't want to say disability, but difference. Differences as an opportunity, not an obstacle, not a burden, but a blessing to give up me and Carrie as parents and her an opportunity to glorify God in ways that other people cannot. And this scripture was a great encouragement to me. And don't think because I don't have anybody in my family with disabilities. I don't have any disabilities of any kind. So I'm going to check out and check my phone in the news for the next few minutes. Well, guess what? God has the same plan for you as He has for them. The reason I'm preaching this message is because I think sometimes we forget that about them. We think that only those who are normal or neurotypical are the ones that God has great plans for. No. God, and we're going to read it in the message, in this Word of God this morning, every child that is created the way God wanted them to be. And His plan for every one of them is the same. And I want us to leave here knowing that and being encouraged by the fact that anyone that is in this situation, what a great opportunity you have. And what a blessing God has given you. That's what I see now by God's grace in Ruby. What a beautiful blessing from God that we have. I mean, everybody in the room, when the Lord allowed her to talk, did that impact you in a special way? That's just God showing Himself. And it encouraged to see scriptures like this. God made her exactly like He wants her. And for her to point people to Him. And me and Carrie, as we parent her, to do the same. Because as we know, there are difficulties. I mean, because autism is not the only disability or issue. I mean, there's autism, Down syndrome. People are born without limbs. I mean, there's a very long list of different things that people are born with and they have or they develop. But all of them come with different challenges. But just because it's hard doesn't mean that God doesn't want to work in it and through it. I think he puts us in those situations because he knows that he can get some extra glory in that. That although it's difficult sometimes, by God's grace, and we'll talk about that shortly, we can do it. And they can see Jesus in us through that, in our daughter, and in you or anyone you know that has any issues. But I hope this message this morning is an encouragement to you. I love this passage of Scripture. I've got a great example later that I hope that will encourage you. But John chapter 9, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 to wake your legs up. We'll stand in reverence to God's holy word as we read John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to proclaim the truth of your word. I pray that we would be challenged, we would be encouraged, and you would be uplifted through this message. I pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So, as we begin in the message this morning, the first thing I want to point out, and we know kind of the purpose of the thought, is God's beautiful plan for those with special needs. The first thing we point out that we see in this text and kind of the focus of the whole thing is, number one, the syndrome. What is the disability? What is the issue that this man has in our text before us? So we see here it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." So we see here a man who could not see from the very moment he was born. And there are many people like that in the United States of America and in the world today. And I've got some statistics in regards to disability. Nearly one-fifth of all Americans, more than 54 million men, women, and children, have a physical, sensory, or intellectual disability, according to the National Organization on Disability. More than 41 million Americans, or almost 15% of the population, age 5 and older, have some type of disability. 20.9 million families have members with a disability. Of the 20.9 million families reporting at least one member with a disability, 5.5% have both adults and children with a disability in the home. One in every 26 American families reported raising children with a disability. There are a whole lot of families in the United States of America that are affected in this way. And if we're not careful, we will be hurt for them, like they are under some judgment of God, as they even the disciples mentioned in the text today. And that, so we see, number one, the syndrome, the issue, and this could manifest in any way. In this case, it was blindness. In my daughter's case, it's autism. I mean, you can. There are many different ways. I'm sure you've met many people with other disabilities. So we see the syndrome, but now I want to look at the stigmas. The stigmas, when you look at it, what the stereotype is. Verse number two, we see, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So we see here, first, the stigma, the first one I want to point out, they are a result of the disobedience of the parents. That's what they thought here. That this man was born blind because his mom or dad did something wrong. Now, I understand that in some situations, the physical habits of the mother or the father can cause something to happen with the child. I understand that. But just because a child is born with Down syndrome, or born with autism, or born without an arm, without a leg, or without any limbs, it doesn't mean that that's judgment from God. That's what they immediately thought here. They did something bad wrong that he was born blind. Because I guess maybe they thought they became blind with stuff that happened throughout their life, but he was born this way. So something they had to have done something wrong. That's not true. We want to see that. We're going to see Jesus had a perfect and a beautiful plan in why he created that man born blind. So we see the first stigma. They are a result of the disobedience of the parents. And I already mentioned this a little earlier. The next stigma, they are damaged people. Some may think God messed up with them. Maybe God let that one slide, kind of like in a factory. You're focused on your job, and then you kind of turn your back for just a second. You come back and you see that one of the products was messed up, and it was an accident. That God messed up. That God made an accident. That this person is broken, is damaged, is any less valuable than anyone else, and that is absolutely not true. God has just as beautiful and perfect of a plan for them as he does for anyone in this room. We need to understand that. Don't look at someone with a disability, and I understand we can feel bad that they've got to endure some things that come with that, but they've got a great opportunity to glorify God. They're not damaged people. They are created just as God intended. Every child in the womb, every person in here, he made you the way you are. He did. Now, I know father and mother came together and it's a piece of both of you, but Jesus was the one who made you and them and my daughter and anyone else. So we see they're a result of the disobedience of the parents. They're damaged people. They are a drain on the population. And I hate that. Because when they say that, they say the next one. They deserve to perish. You say, nobody says that. I would like to know how many aborted babies are the result of a doctor saying, your child's going to be born with this. You're not going to be able to handle this. This is going to make your life miserable. We recommend that you abort this child. See, when you look at it as the disciples did, that this was an accident, that this is going to be a drain on you, a drain on society, they are damaged goods, then the fleshly mind may think, well, maybe I should kill that child. But see, when you look at it as God looks at the child, when you look at things as God does, God has got a beautiful plan for that child and for everyone that takes care of that child. They don't deserve to die. They deserve to live so that they can fulfill the purpose that God has for them. And it's a beautiful one. It's a perfect one. And it is one that gives, once again, that family, that child, that person, an avenue to glorify God in areas that I cannot and you cannot. They've got a greater opportunity than we do. So we see those are the stigmas. They are the result of the disobedience of the parents. They are damaged people. They are a drain on the population. They deserve to perish. That's the stigmas. But number three, we see the Savior. Look at Jesus here. See, we need to look at everyone, especially those with special needs, with disabilities, through the eyes of Christ. Look what Jesus does here. We see verse number 3. It says, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So as we think about the Savior, the first thing I want to point out, he, Jesus, was aware of the issue this man had. And when I say aware, it doesn't mean that he was walking by and he happened to look and say, oh, that guy's blind. I believe Jesus had intimate knowledge of the fact that this man was born blind and had lived his entire life until that point not being able to see, I believe Jesus had intimate knowledge with the problems and the struggles that this man had to get to this point. So we see Jesus was aware of the issue, of the syndrome, the disability, but also, and this is one people have a hard time with, but it's Bible truth here, and I believe it's in the lives of every child. He, Jesus, was the author of this syndrome, this disability. He's the one. And some people say, why in the world would he create a child that would have to endure his life, having to learn everything without being able to see? Actually, I've got an example of a man that has no arms or legs. Why would God make him that way? It has to be an accident. God would never do that. It has to be something someone else did, but that wasn't a part of God's plan. No, Jesus was the author, the creator of this man. Jesus is the creator of my beautiful little girl. And with the children with Down syndrome, children born without limbs, or with many other disabilities, Jesus is the author of them, the creator of them. Jeremiah 1:5. And see, let us not think that when we read Jeremiah 1:5 and Psalm 139:14 that it's only referring to children who are born without any disabilities or issues. The Bible says, Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God knew Jeremiah before he was in the womb, and God had a plan for Jeremiah before he was in the womb. And I believe it's that case for every child that is in the womb. Every child. Every life has a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is to glorify God. Everyone. Psalm 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous all thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." See, if we're not careful, we'll read that and feel like it only applies to somebody who has no issues, no problems, no disabilities. But I believe that verse applies to a baby in the womb that has Down syndrome. I believe that verse applies to a baby in the womb that has no arms or legs. I believe that verse applies to the little baby in the womb that has autism. I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made them as he wanted them. God's got a great plan for them. And then another verse that we need to remember, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Does that only apply to children with no disabilities? No. That applies to children that God has a plan for. And guess what? God has a plan for all children. So mom and dad, no matter if your child is neurotypical or normal, or if it has disabilities of some kind, God has a plan, and it is your duty as the parent to help them find that plan for their life. And once again, the ultimate goal is to glorify God. So we see Jesus was aware of this. He was the author of this. And he had a great aim for this. That is, if you take nothing else away, God has a great aim, a great goal, a great purpose for every life, especially those with special needs or disabilities. Verse number 3, it says again, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." God got to show himself in a special way through this man that he couldn't show himself through anybody else. And same way for any children or person or people taking care of those with the disabilities or issues. So we see here, he had a great plan for this man. You say, well, man, that mom and dad and that boy they suffered for many years. Why would the Lord make them do that? So that Jesus could show himself to these people and to that family at this point in their lives. This was so important to God that he put it in his word. He had a great plan. I'm sure this blind man didn't know when he was born that he was going to be in the Bible one day because God showed himself through him. I bet looking back, this man could say, thank you, Lord, for my blindness. See, and when we look at things as we should, that's what we'll do. Thank you, Jesus, for this. See, but the world saturates us with terrible thoughts and stigmas about these things. I've been there. And it's still a battle with my flesh. We've got to realize God's got a great plan for them, for me, for Ruby's mama, for you. So we had a great aim for this. So we see the syndrome, the stigmas, the Savior. Then we see the supernatural occurrence. Verse 4 goes on, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went His way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So we see here God works a miracle in the life of this man. And when you think about the supernatural occurrence, sometimes they may have been born with this so that God can heal them of this and show Himself through that. That may be a possibility. I do believe that God can still heal. I do believe that. But if He doesn't, it doesn't mean that He didn't have a special plan for their life. Because in this instance, we see that He did heal, but Him showing Himself through this person and through the caregivers of this person, be that grandma, or grandpa, mom and dad, aunt and uncle, whoever it is, it may just be helping them and helping the person through it to glorify God in it. Helping first the person. And Josh, if you can go to the next slide, I believe it's a picture. Okay. So we've got a man here. Some of you may know something about, some of you may not. His name is Nick. Nick, and I may mispronounce it, Nick Vujicic. Now I'm going to read something from his website that we have here. It says, imagine getting through your busy day without arms or legs. Picture your life without the ability to walk, care for your basic needs, or even embrace those you love. Meet Nicholas Vujicic. Without any medical explanation or warning, Nick was born in 1982 in Melbourne, Australia, without arms and legs. Three sonograms failed to reveal the complications, and yet the Vujicic family was destined to cope with both the challenge and blessing of raising a son who refused to allow his physical condition to limit his lifestyle. The early days were difficult. Throughout his childhood, Nick not only dealt with the typical challenges of school and adolescence, but he also struggled with depression and loneliness. Nick constantly wondered why he was different than all the other kids. He questioned the purpose of life, or if he even had a purpose. According to Nick, the victory over his struggles, as well as his strength and passion for life today, can be credited to faith in God. His family, friends, and the many people he has encountered along the journey have inspired him to carry on. Since his first speaking engagement at age 19, Nick has traveled around the world. This is a man without arms or legs. That some people may say, if they had known, because today they would probably know, that they would be able to see that this child does not have any arms or legs and you should abort this child because he will have no value of life. He will be a drain on society. He won't have a good life. You might as well abort this baby. But God uses this man in a great way. He has shared his story with millions. Sometimes in stadiums filled to capacity, speaking to a range of diverse groups such as students, teachers, young people, business professionals, and church congregations of all sizes. Today, this dynamic evangelist, who would have thought that when this young man was born? But now he can be described by God's grace, and that's where he gives the glory, as a dynamic evangelist. God's got a great plan for every child, no matter how they're born or what they're born with or without in this man's case. So it's today this dynamic evangelist has accomplished more than most people achieve in a lifetime. He's an author, musician, actor, and has hobbies, and his hobbies include fishing, painting, and swimming. In 2005, Nick made the long journey from Australia to Southern California, where he founded Life Without Limbs. He is currently serving as president and CEO. Life Without Limbs is an international nonprofit ministry whose purpose is to saturate the world with the gospel and unite the body of Christ through the life and testimony of Nick Vujicic. Since 2005, over 1 million people have made a decision for Christ through his ministry. Life Without Limbs' goal is to share the gospel with 1 billion more people by 2028 through four main focus areas: live outreach events, prison ministry, digital ministry, and prayer and encouragement. Tell me God don't have a plan for every child, no matter how they're born. God's got a beautiful plan for every person, and that includes those who are born with special needs. It is just, and it may be, and I know it in some situations. I've experienced it in my life, in my family, with my daughter, and I know some people have it way more difficult than we do. But we need to look at it as an opportunity to glorify God and point people to Jesus. This man with no arms and no legs, when he got right with God, got born again by the grace of God, saw that he had a purpose. And that was to point people to Jesus. And by God's grace, millions have come to faith in Christ. God has got a beautiful plan for every child, especially those with special needs. But so we see supernatural occurrence, sometimes healing, helping the person with the disability or the special need, but also the parents, or I guess you could say the caregivers. God's grace is sufficient. Doesn't mean it won't be hard, but God will give you the grace to glorify Him in and through it. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, remember, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It may very well have been a disability of some kind. Some believe he was basically blind. And that's the case of the man we have in Scripture right here. And in Paul, it says here that he begged God to take it away. Three times he begged God to take it away. And then he said in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God can show himself more in a weaker vessel than he could in other situations. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Another verse that we need to remember. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." All things. That includes you or one of your children or somebody you know being born with a special need. God wants to use that for your good and His glory. Let's not believe the lies of the devil and live a woe is me life. But let's beg God to give us the grace to see the opportunity in that. Doesn't mean that it won't be hard, but He will give you the grace to do it. He will give you the grace to use that to help your child, maybe that has a disability of some kind, to find God's will for their life and glorify Jesus in that. That's the ultimate goal. I can't say what the specific, what God's perfect specific will is for each life, but I know it. The end of the road is glorification of Christ. So we see here the supernatural occurrence. We see number five, the source for direction, be that for the person with the special need or the caregivers of the special need. What made the difference in this man's life? What gave Jesus an opportunity to work in his life? It was the words of Christ. The Word of God was the key. Look what it says in verses 6 and 7. "And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, This is just as inspired as any other word in the Bible. This is literally the words of Christ, the words of God. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. God spoke. He responded, and God did a miracle. You want to find whatever God's perfect plan in your life or the life of your child or your family member that's struggling with a special need? It starts in the Word. Now, I know that doctors can help in many situations. And I know that there are probably many great articles and books to read that can help you and give you great wisdom. But don't let this be the last place you go. This is where you can be encouraged. This is where you can be emboldened. This is where you can see, if we hadn't read this, some people may be struggling with this, and they need to read this. God created this man with blindness so that he could show himself through him. God's people need to be reminded of that. God's got a beautiful plan for those with special needs. And we see the source of direction is the Scriptures. Then we see the sequence, the result. I mean, in the ultimate goal, we see Christ is magnified. God has put us in the situations we're in, all of us. You may not have anybody in your house with a disability or special. And you may not have one. It still stands true. God created you, put you where you're at, gave you what you've got, your lot in life, to glorify Him. And what an opportunity those with special needs and those that take care of those with special needs have to magnify Jesus in and through their lives. But not only does it magnify Christ, but we see the caregivers are edified. See, when we read the Word, we trust the Word, we obey the Word, we believe the Word, and God shows Himself faithful to His Word, it grows our faith and encourages us. See, I was struggling and down and out, to be honest with you, when Ruby was diagnosed with autism. But you know what gave me peace? Not a doctor. God's Word. God told me through this Scripture that He's got a beautiful plan for my little girl. And it's my job as her dad to help her find that. And in me and Carrie doing that, He wants people to see God work through us as well. Man, and God's got a beautiful plan. And when we see it that way, we can go through those hard times with a smile on our face, with joy in our hearts, because we know that it's not an accident. It's a part of His plan. When we see it that way, we can go on encouraged, even on the hardest days, because God's got a beautiful plan for everyone with special needs, and we all need to understand, for every child of God. To be honest with you, every person that's born, God's got a great plan for, but that plan can't be accomplished until they get right with God. But when you do, every child of God, special needs or not, God's got a beautiful plan for your life. Will we surrender to Him, to His will, and allow Him to demonstrate that, or as the Bible says here, manifest, that God should be manifest in Him? Will we let God manifest Himself through us? God's got a beautiful plan. Let's just trust Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, thank you, Lord Jesus, for Your Word. Thank You for Your opportunity to preach Your Word. I pray this would encourage Your people today. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to cling to Your Word, especially those maybe that are taking care of someone with a special need. The devil wants to get us down and discouraged and angry when things get hard. But I pray that You, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would give us grace to have joy in that moment, knowing that You've got a beautiful plan. And please help us not to be hindrances to that plan, but to be a help to that plan. Lord, give me and Carrie the grace to train up Ruby in the way she should go. When she is old, she will not depart from it. Lord Jesus, we love You. Pray all this in Your holy name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity to come to the altar. I know there's no music. That's fine. But if you want to come pray, the altar is open. Okay, you can look.